It's time to wander the world with Sharon. Enjoy this Big Blend radio podcast featuring award-winning travel writer and photographer Sharon K. Kurtz. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of Big Blend Radio's Wander the World with Sharon. This is a podcast that airs every first Wednesday at noon Central Time featuring Sharon K. Kurtz. Sharon is award-winning photographer, travel writer, wanderer, globetrotter. She loves to travel and she loves to share all the places that she visits. So welcome, Sharon, to your own show. How are you?
Thank you, Lisa. I'm very well. Happy to be here.
This is exciting because today we're going to be talking about Port Aransas, which is in Texas. It's on the coastline. And it was so funny because the last time you were on Big Blend Radio was with our International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association show talking about Poland. And now we're in Texas, which is your backyard. Yep. And you were talking about where you're going. And we're like, oh, we're going to be near there. And next thing you know, we ended up there before you. Like, yes. We were like crossing paths.
Yes.
And, which was kind of a bummer because it would have been cool to have met you there. But we were literally passing each other on the highway, I think, when you went there. But Port Aransas, we went to the National Wildlife Refuge. We drove in there. You had a different experience, but you were actually going for the Whooping Crane Festival, right?
Right. That's right. I first learned about it. I moved to Austin like in the summertime. And in November, Travel Texas had a media event for local journalists to get to know the different regions of Texas. So we went to this really nice dinner and with all of these, it was kind of like speed dating. Like they all had stations and you moved from one to the next to get a brief synopsis of their area. Mm-hmm. And I met with Brett Stauer. He's the Convention and Visitors Bureau representative for Port Aransas, because I didn't know much about it. And he was explaining it to me and I was looking at the pictures. And then he said, and we have a Whooping Crane Festival in February. And I was like, what? Number one, I didn't know that they were these birds that migrated here. And they're very special. They are only on the Texas Gulf Coast from Canada. This is where they migrate to every year for, millennia.
They are magical. Like they're magnificent because they're pretty big, but they remind me of swans in their elegance and how the couples connect with each other. They're so close. We watched one over a little lake area, a couple. We saw actually a few couples and they had a wildlife drive in the refuge and everything, but it's all like on the coastline, but you have the inland waterways as well, which makes this like this perfectly biodiverse habitat for all kinds of critters, even alligators.
Oh, exactly right. They do have them.
Yeah.
Well, now, they like marshy areas, so little estuaries, and they fish for their favorite food are blue crabs. So I met a photographer. I went on a boat tour to go out to the Aransas Wildlife Refuge about an hour and a half away to these barrier little areas. Mm. And we saw them. But whooping cranes are unique in that they don't, you might imagine, I did, they'd fly into a huge flock and you would see the sky full of cranes. No, they're very territorial and they stay in family groups. So we saw a grouping of three with their little baby, which is called a colt. I think that's funny that they would call it a colt. Yeah. It's like a cinnamon brown color. They are territorial. They don't like to share their feeding ground. And they're just different that way. They're not a flock.
And their wingspan is pretty huge.
They stand 5 feet tall up to. They can weigh up to 40 pounds, and their wingspan is like 7 feet wide. So
that's insane.
Yeah, the picture behind you, I took that, and they don't look so big. They look kind of like, there sits baby right there, the little.
Oh, there's the little baby.
So you can't tell from afar how big they really are. But at this Whooping Crane Festival, they had in the Civic Center, like a trade show with booths, with photographers and wildlife experts. And one of them was the Texas Rangers had a booth, and they had a mock whooping crane that stood 5 feet tall. And, you know, it came up to you. And
wow.
Then they had a booth for the Dallas Zoo Collaborates. They almost went extinct in the 1940s, down to 15 individual birds. That's all. And they brought them back from that to around 500 on the Gulf Coast. But the Dallas Zoo is collaborating. They take an egg and in controlled environment, they hatch it. And then they get foundling, they get parents to raise it and then eventually release it in the wild.
Wow. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. And we were so lucky to see them. And I, you know, just, I love the refuge, by the way. It's just an amazing thing. And you came in from a boat perspective, right? And
yes. That
had to be really a different way from us driving in there. But like, I want to go camp there. I want to hang out.
It's beautiful. Well, Port Aransas is on Mustang Island, and it's a barrier island, and they have 18 miles of continuous beaches. They're really wide, and they're the kind of beach where you can actually drive on the beach. So,
yeah, that was surprising to me. The only other beach I've been to like that in this country is up in Long Beach, Washington State. That was, and it was different for me. And even we went to where Port Aransas, I think, is just amazingly, it's such a good hub because you can go to Port Aransas National Wildlife Refuge, whether you want to drive or not, or boat, or however you're going to get there. And then they have Padre Island National Seashore, which has been on my bucket list for millennia. And I mean, for a long time. I'm dating myself, right? And aging myself a little prematurely. But we went to to Padre Island National Seashore. We just had to. We're like, we must, you know. And it was gorgeous. And all I can say is we were not there long enough, just like the same as the wildlife refuge. But, you know, just getting that little taste of this area, we were just like, we need to go back. We need to go back. And we will. It is, I mean, Port Aransas, I could live there. Like, honestly, it was like that cute coastal town that cared about nature and the environment. And yet at the same time had that, I want to go get a, you know, a soft serve ice cream kind of vibe, you know, wear flip flops.
Put us up. My whole family went. We had there were five of us with my new granddaughter. So just toddling on the beach. So the place we stayed is called Executive Keys Condo, right on the beach, and then your dunes and a boardwalk. And they had a bonfire on Saturday nights, big bonfire on the beach with all these chairs around.
Oh, cool!
And you could had a weenie roast and made s'mores, and it was just like nostalgia, you know. It was just like you would imagine when you were a kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we felt. And just driving around, like I want to spend time because, you know, there's going to be cool history there too.
Yeah,
that's the one thing. And Mustang Island. So Nancy and I, what's up Mustang Island? I know we're in Texas, and Texas and horses go hand in hand. But so this guy brought these Mustang on there, right? Because there was one part of these nature experiences and that preserve was part of his, you know, why they had like a whole thing, like a gazebo and like a shelter where you could bird watch. And we saw so many vultures, or maybe they were buzzards. I don't know. I need someone to help me on that. But they were sending their wings. It was so cool. But he brought Mustangs out.
It goes back to 1911, and it was first just a little fishing village called Tarpon, because they caught these tremendous fish and people used to go fishing there. And then it was incorporated and it became Port Aransas because of Aransas Pass that is close by.
Okay. So it's really fascinating, all this history. And fishing is a big deal there. And we got to go on the ferry, which Nancy and I, we haven't been on a ferry since Kenya. And this is like late 70s, early 80s. And
you're already past. It is not too long of a ferry.
Well, but we were nervous. Like, this is what's so funny. This is how, like, you know, I'm bringing this up because there's probably other people like me. So your GPS is going, go here, go there. And it says there's a 23-minute wait. And the GPS doesn't say it's waiting for the ferry. No, just like there's a wait, it looks like, oh, maybe it's a car pilot, whatever. So there's another little park area on the way, and you can sit in the little causeway area and have a sandwich. And that's what we did. We were watching herons and all and egrets. And we're like, this is cool. And I'm like, Nancy, we better get to our hotel. And we went, and the 23 minutes is your wait to get in there. That was what it was. So I'm like, okay, we didn't dodge that. But it was really simple, easy, cool. It's part of the Texas highway system. Doesn't cost you a dime, you know. And we, after being in Africa where they used to actually, their cars would fall off the ferry. So we don't want to talk about that. We were a little nervous. Nancy and I were both like, uh-oh. No, don't be like us. It was fine and it was pretty cool. And then we were like, well, it's so easy. Like, oh, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's boring, but it was almost like, well, no one rolled off the ferry. But
Kind of uneventful then, huh?
it's kind of cool, I think, for kids to go on that kind of thing and realize that waterways are also part of our highway systems. You know, that was cool.
Well, it's known for being a summer spring break destination because in
Yeah.
Texas, we don't have, it's not like California, and it's so the Texas coast is where teenagers go for spring break. So it gets a little busy and overrun at that time. But the cool
Okay.
thing about Port Aransas is it's temperate and it's all year round destination for birders and wildlife and fishermen all year round, not just summer or
We
spring.
got to see an alligator, which was really cool, but it was way off in the distance. So sorry, folks, no good photos. Sharon has good photos, but there is a local famous alligator that hangs
Yes,
out in Port
there's
Aransas.
on Mustang Island, they have it's really big into nature and birding, and there's this Leona Bell Turnbull Birding Center that was built. And get this, it's right where the sewage treatment plant is,
Yep.
because
Birds
that
love
the
that.
birds love that. And so there it is, and you're up on these boardwalks, and with this wafting aroma. But that's
Yeah.
part of the charm. You had the aroma of the nearby thing,
Yeah.
but it filtered the water, and the w clear treated water goes down to a freshwater pond. But Boots, the alligator, hangs out under that boardwalk, and I saw him. He's humongous. He's like 50 years old, and that's where he lives. He likes it there.
And everyone knows him. Well, it reminds me in when we were in I was going to say Gatlinburg, Gainesville, Florida, they have a place called Sweetwater, which is also a nature preserve and a part of a water treatment plant. When we lived in Tucson, same thing, same name, Sweetwater, because it's these water treatment plants, sewage plants, and they basically they're cleaning the water and the birds come and they've found this way of coexistence. The one in Gainesville, Florida, we saw mass alligators. I mean,
Wow.
everywhere, babies and you know, big ones, and you know, and we get excited about it because they're like the closest to dinosaurs in a way. You know, they're dinosaurs. I think roadrunners are too, and birds. So, you know, I feel like we're playing with prehistoric nature, you
Yeah.
know. So
As
seeing
a
it in
boot,
Boots.
and I saw Boots. He was right in the marshes underneath the boardwalk. You could tell he was gigantic and long, and the only thing above the water was his eyes and snout. You could just imagine if you were a little bunny rabbit or a small dog or
Yeah.
whatever close by, he was ready to get his meal.
Oh, wow. Wow. So living in Texas, because I know you used to be up in the Dallas area, and then now moving to Austin, it's kind of interesting to see this very, you know, this variety of terrain and wildlife, huh?
It is. When I lived in North Texas, it was a long way from the Texas Gulf Coast. So it's not like I didn't know it was down here. And Galveston's cool in this area, but it was, a far drive, and you'd always find other things to do. But being in Austin, I have new way of looking at things. It's only 3 to 4 hour drive, and I could gather my brood, extended family, we all live here, get in the car, take a road trip. And I
Easy.
would go again. Oh, it's
Oh,
easy.
yeah. Well, having hung out in your area, Austin, I mean, I know it's growing. You know, it's definitely a bustling city, and hopefully you guys will keep it weird as
I hope
it
so.
grows. you know. But you do have a lot of nature, and I was seeing blue bonnets but I couldn't pull over where we were, and I'm like, I want the blue bonnet experience. Have you seen blue bonnets?
You know what? I was gone last week on another experience up into the Canadian winterland. But
Everyone, stay tuned for that for next month. Yep.
when I got back on Sunday, it had been raining and the blue bonnets were everywhere. In just 5 days' time, it was a tremendous change. And the trees were leafed out, and along the highway berms, they're Indian paintbrush and blue bonnets. So it's orange and blue. Just everywhere. It really
Beautiful.
is incredible.
It's really, really neat. I think where you are, and even where San Antonio is, like the perfect, and even Houston, wouldn't you say, would be good major cities for folks going to Port Aransas area.
Yes, exactly. Anyone at this Whooping Crane Festival, there were people from all over the country, and I'm going to say the world. People would come in because this is a once in the planet place where they all are. And if you're a serious birder, this is an amazing experience. So, but lots of regional people, you can drive easily from all of those places, San Antonio, Austin, Houston, all along Louisiana, even probably isn't very far.
Yeah, you know, what I was going to think in, yeah, Louisiana, Mississippi, all of it. Yeah, you know, you're really kind of in that tweener zone, and even Florida. I'm just, well, not, you know what? To me, everywhere is nearby because you just keep going till you get there. But, you know how we are with that. But what's interesting too is when this kind of festival, and this is the season of these birds, people will fly in from around the world for this life bird to see this one specific species, which, because, and they are, when you see them, it's like, wow. Nancy and I just stood there and held our breath. We're like, don't move, don't talk, don't do anything, just sit still. And as soon as I moved, they looked at me and they looked at each other and they went, yeah, I don't know. And then they went back to eating. And then I moved again, and I took one step forward, and they're like, dude, you're now just a little too close. So I know I was within every limitation and everything, so not doing anything bad. But I know that this festival had different kinds of activities and even photography classes and things, which I think is really important for folks to understand about birding photography, is like a whole other deal, isn't it?
Yeah. They had experts from the International Crane Association. What's kind of interesting is this festival has been happening for more than 25 years in
Whoa.
Port Aransas, but a neighboring community is called Rockport. And actually, the festival started there for like 5 years, but it was like a scientific festival for the international crane people, and they would talk about conservation, and they just kind of gave it up. And Port Aransas said, "Oh, I think we'll take that." And they put a spin on it. More, it's more for average people. You don't have to be, a professional, a really
You don't
bird.
have to be a bird geek.
Yeah, you
Which
can
is
just,
important because if you're already in that, you're already knowing about conservation and everything. So this is like more accessible for everyone then.
yes. But also in at this trade show at the Dallas Zoo booth, they had a young girl, like, young 20s, and she actually had, this was so effective, she had a costume. She had cloth bird wings on her arms, like doing this, as if she was a whooping crane. And it was gigantic that you really can see how big they are
Oh,
from
that makes sense with their size.
demonstration. Yeah.
Yeah, with their size, that makes it. Okay, so I do want to talk about, you went on an amazing boat trip and you saw dolphins, and everyone's in the video here at the beginning if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook. So I want people to understand dolphins go under boats. Boats are not driving over the dolphins, right? They
Right.
love to go right. I want people to understand that because that's important, and you got to see dolphins. Isn't that cool?
So we were on this boat tour out to the Aransas Pass Wildlife Refuge, and it was a catamaran, and it took an hour and a half to get all the way out there. So I was
Wow.
standing at the rail with a photographer that was a guide, and I was exactly at the bow with my cell phone in my hand, like this. And she said, oh, look. And I looked down over the rail, and there was this pair that were racing us under the boat. And so I turned on video and didn't move my camera, and they were leaping and racing us like for fun, right under the boat.
Isn't that amazing?
Very incredible.
Yeah.
Dolphin
sightings.
She said she had never seen that, something so unique like that, just witnessing this race of them having fun against our boat.
I've seen it happen with going on a whale watching tour in San Diego, where they did that, and they get right under, and it depends on the kind of boat. Some boats, like, they can get hurt, but a catamaran is a little bit different, you know?
Yeah, they must have, you know, it's a shallow hull, but very wide, and there's room for them to maneuver.
Yeah, but they do race. It's almost like they're stewards of the ocean. Like, here, you know, and they're very protective. If you get in trouble in the water with a shark, they will protect you from the shark. Dolphins are cool. No, they are amazing. They're amazing. So, yeah, that's a special thing you got to witness. You had to have been pinching yourself going, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I was just lucky that I was right there and the camera was ready. And, you know, sometimes it just happens that way.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You always, when you go out, I get excited because it's always like, what's going to happen? Are you have this idea of what you want to see and what you want to experience. And sometimes you'll get a little bit of that, but sometimes you'll have a completely different other experience, you know?
Yeah.
And I found the area so fascinating in the terrain, because when we first drove in, it was all misted in. It was like, almost like being, you know, like being on the coast, right? Which you are, we're on the Gulf Coast, you know, the Mexico Gulf Coast. And I don't know, all of a sudden the sun started burning it out. And that's when we saw the vultures and buzzards all like, here we are, we're sunning our wings. And we saw them actually watching over their nests, which was special to me. It was just like, it was so special. But they have boardwalks that go out over the ocean, and you could see the water was so clear, even from your dolphin. Wasn't that something also really cool to experience, is how beautiful that water is?
So you talked about the little tiny ferry that you crossed. Well, right on the other side of the ferry is where we took this kayaking tour. And there was like, you know, it was by reservation. So we all were waiting for it to start. And it was called Coastal Bend Kayaks. So he had our kayaks for us, and we went out into the estuaries in the shallow waters. And he was showing us pelicans. They had white pelicans that migrate and brown pelicans, and they would just swoop
yes
right above the water just to catch fish. But he was showing us, it was very sad. This area used to be known for their black mangrove groves, just like one of the largest mangrove forests. And that's so important for conservation and wildlife.
Yes.
But we had a freeze about 3 years ago.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it was such a hard freeze that they actually are still not back yet. They're just dead sticks, but there's hope that they will make their way back, but nature's going to take a while. They're very fragile.
Yeah, you find them in like places like the Everglades,
yeah,
up in the Florida Panhandle. And you know, it's interesting. We did an interview with the aquarium in Corpus Christi, and I'm like going, oh, wait, we're here now. I want to stop. But I didn't get to go there.
Yeah.
When we went to Padre Island.
Yeah.
And we did an interview with them because they opened up a brand new wildlife rehab as in the port. And so it's part of the aquarium, but it's a wildlife rehab because of the freeze. And they bring in up to 5,000 sea turtles at a time to be rehabbed because of these freezes that happen.
Yes.
And they're saying with climate change, it's starting to get a little bit more frequent. But at the same time, another interesting thing happening, which now I'm going, oh, they must have come through Port Aransas. Manatees from Florida looking for food, because they have a food shortage in Florida for the manatees, are now coming into Texas. And coming all the way into Corpus Christi, they've had about 10 of them, 10 sightings. And now, like, the boaters and fishermen, now there's a whole education to go out because they're not used to them being in the water. So now they understand dolphins, they know what to do. But now with manatees, it's a whole new thing. So animals are shifting, and you know, that's, I think when you go to things like the Whooping Crane Festival and learn about migration, you start to really understand all these little things in life that we may take for granted.
Yeah.
Like how much depends on weather and, you know, seasonality and, you know, like this one crab, if the crab is gone, what are the whooping cranes going to
yes.
go and do?
Well, the cranes come back to the Texas coast and it's imprinted in their brain. You know, they make
right.
that 2,500 a year, mile, not year, not journey. And they come back to the same place. But when housing developments come close to the coastline and then they come back and they can't, and I mean, they will just die. They don't easily make changes like that because it's just nature, how
it's part
nature
of your
is. Yeah,
they do. Yeah, it's imprinted, and families will go to, it's like almost part of their DNA. Families will keep going to the same place. Deer do it. A deer family will stay within their same two plus mile radius of generation after generation. This is our home. So it's very interesting how it all works. And I think that's what's so great about these festivals is, like you're saying, yes, the people that are into biology, they know birds, they're all into everything, understand it all. But then you can have someone who's an amateur, you know, birder or just loves wildlife come and, you know, have no clue, or just, hey, let's go to a whooping crane festival. We don't know what it is. Let's see what a whooping crane is. And then go, oh, wow. So it's such a good, you know, in the day now of transformative travel, you know, sustainable travel, and really people wanting authentic experiences, I would say what you went, you know, and did, Nancy and I didn't get to do the actual festival, but I would say that they're right on the mark of that, wouldn't you think?
Yes. One of the things they had me do was they have an art center. Port Aransas is very, they have a regional theater, community theater house. They have a beautiful art gallery where they teach art lessons. So one night it was called, I'm going to have the name wrong, but they offered, we got to paint and they gave us wine while we painted. So I said, I will go. And so I did not bring it home with me. I left it in our condo unit and I signed it on the back, but we all had a canvas and the artist stood in front of us and from a photograph of whipping cranes, kind of like behind you, she had painted them. And then so she gave us each a canvas and paints, and she helped us create our own painting of whooping
cranes.
That's cool. Well, what I was going with that is I noticed this younger woman than me, and she was on the boat tour, and then I saw her somewhere else. So I went back and talked to her. She was there. She came from Rochester, New York.
No way.
To go to the festival. And I said, are you a birder? And she said, well, not really, but I was down in Baytown and I heard about this. And so I have friends there. They're meeting me. And she came from New York because this is so unique. It's an authentic experience.
Yeah, I love that. And transformative, because you start to have care and compassion for these wildlife, which is all part of a, you know, a system. Now, two things. You're talking about art. You got to experience something we didn't. And now I'm like, we really have to go back. The Ballard Buddies. Nancy was adamant that we go and find them. Tell everybody about the Ballard Buddies. And you've got to show your new friend from Port Aransas.
I'll show you my fan too. So it is so whimsical and quirky. In Port Aransas, they have these wooden posts that separate the parking lot along the I.G. McGee beach, a long beachfront from the beach. So you can't, you know, at this point, you can't drive across. And some enterprising woman, or maybe actually now there's a whole series of volunteers. You've heard about yarn bombing. They wrap in yarn these bollards. That's what they're called. And there's like more than 300 of these unique yarn wrapped bollards along the beach, and they are so comical. Some are chefs, some are fishermen, you name it. And now they're like multimedia. Now they'll add other elements to them, not just yarn, but they'll have curly hair out of yarn. So that's
really
cool.
Funny.
And then in Port Aransas, the UT system, Marine Life System, has a campus there, and they rehabilitate wildlife. One of them is sea turtles. So I brought something to show.
Ah.
This is Flynn. Flynn is like a mascot of Port Aransas, and he's to talk about. It's an easy way to talk about conservation and ecology. So they
He's
gave this
cute.
to me in my little gift bag, which I gave to my granddaughter, and she gave it back to me. She's only like one, and she said, "Well, it wasn't huggable. This is not a baby doll to her." So I get to keep Flynn.
But I bet you in about a month or two,
Oh,
suddenly, you know it's going to change for sure. He's
I
so
might put him
cute.
back in her Easter basket. Maybe it'll be a brand new friend for her. So this is
Yeah.
Flynn the sea turtle. But I did go to a lecture at the rehabilitation center, and she was telling us how they rehabilitate these sea turtles and maybe birds that get caught in nets and fish and release them back, and the work that they do there.
That's
It's really
awesome. It's
important work.
and everyone, I want you to know, Sharon's got a wonderful article, and you can see photos, a little bit of video clip too, the beginning of the podcast here, but awesome photos that you can see up on nationalparktraveling.com. It's Wildlife Week, everyone. It's Wildlife Week is always celebrated the beginning of April. There's multiple days for it, so that's all I'm going to say. It's Wildlife Week in April, and also Canada celebrates Wildlife Week also sometime in April. So I just say let's just celebrate wildlife. It's also Earth Day Month. It's National Parks Week also coming up. So a lot of it's Arbor Day too. So this is a good month of celebrating wildlife, and this is a good way to kick it all off. So check out the article. It's also linked in the radio show notes. You can also link to the podcast so you can follow it every month. It's every first Wednesday, as I was saying, every first Wednesday at noon Central Time here in the United States. And it's everywhere on Spotify. You can get it also on ourbigblendradio.com. You can get it on iHeartRadio, Apple, all those places, Acast specifically as well. And yeah, all the links are in the show notes. And follow Sharon at SharonKKurtz.com. And that's Kurtz with the K.
That's right. Thank
Don't
you.
forget, get your own Flynn.
Go to Port Aransas to get Flynn.
That's it. Thanks so much, Sharon. Oh, and I want to give a shout out to Port Aransas. So everyone, I'm going to have that linked in the show notes too. Go to portaransas.org.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us here on Big Blend Radio's Wander the World with Sharon podcast. You can keep up with Sharon's adventures at SharonKKurtz.com. Follow Big Blend Radio at BigBlendRadio.com. Happy travels!